Thank you for joining us for today's message. Our hope is that it fills you with hope and encouragement and draws you closer to Jesus. But don't stop there. Download our app today and stay connected throughout the week. And finally, if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Now enjoy today's message.
Sing together.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room in heaven and made to sing. In heaven and made to sing. We will sing joy. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let man the songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, we feel their sounding joy. We need their sounding joy. We will sing joy. We will sing joy. Sing joy, joy to the world. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory of His righteousness and wonders of His love. In wonders of His love, we will sing joy. We will sing joy. We will sing joy. Joy to the world. We will sing joy. We will sing joy.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
We have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous frame. As we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous praise.
Tonight. Good to see everybody. Merry Christmas. Why don't you take like 15 or 30 seconds and just turn to someone and say hey to them, wave to them, tell them you're glad to see them, and then you can grab your seat. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Merry Christmas, everybody. Tonight we are doing something for the very first time that we have never done before. We are live broadcasting our Christmas Eve service online. So I know there are many people watching online, YouTube, Facebook, our app, wherever. Would you all do me a favor and put your hands together and welcome everybody watching online? Thank you guys for celebrating with us, and so it's good to see you. I kind of like just give me just a minute to scan the crowd, and I saw one man someplace, or young guy, somebody over here's got like a full-on Santa, like what is it, a beard and hat and everything. That's awesome. So I'm glad you guys are here. Before we go on, anybody here, I know we have some folks here who are visiting, who are active military. Can I see who you are real quick? Just lift up a hand. I know you don't want to do it, but would you do it for us? Yeah, we got a handful here. Thank you. Would you all put your hands together and say thank you? Thank you all. Thank you all for serving so well. Thank you for being here and spending part of your break with us. I want to take one more second, too, and just thank all of the Dream Teamers. Those are the people who work behind the scenes and even up front who make all of our services happen, but especially tonight. Would you do me a favor? Put your hands together for all the music team, the video team, lights team, all those folks, greeters and everything. Thank you, guys. Thank you all for being here and braving the weather. It wasn't snowing just quite yet when I arrived, but I hear it's snowing a little bit. Is it still snowing? Is that true? Yeah, so that's kind of cool. I guess it's cool. We're here tonight to celebrate, and we all celebrate Christmas in our own special, unique ways. And many of you tonight, you're going to leave here, and I know I'm very aware I'm not going to be here a long time. I know I stand between many of you and a really good home-cooked meal or some type of food is waiting for you on the other side of this service. Food is a big part of how we celebrate these moments. Some of you will go home and you might watch a movie, you'll share a story. Some of you will open gifts tonight. Some of you will wait until tomorrow to do it. Coming from the Italian background and the Italian culture on Christmas Eve was a massive deal. And one of the things that we do in the Christmas culture is called the Feast of Seven Fishes. And in the Feast of Seven Fishes, you have seven courses of different types of fish, which is actually quite interesting. And so everybody has their own special background and ways in which they celebrate. And so I did something I thought was a little bit fun. It ended up being a little bit riskier than I realized. I put out on social media the question, what are some ways in which, or what are your favorite traditions at Christmas time? Many of them are things that we just mentioned, food, family, friends, so on and so forth. There was one that didn't make the reshare list. Since you all are here, do you want to hear the one that didn't make the reshare list? That's not enough. Okay, so if you, no. So this one shocked me. This one shocked me. I hope it doesn't offend you, but I have to tell you the truth. When I read it, I laughed. But I didn't have the courage to post it. So instead, I'm just going to share it with you to make your Christmas season a little more joyful and for everyone watching all over the interwebs. Here it goes. This individual sent the message, and they said their Christmas Eve, one of their Christmas Eve traditions is after Christmas Eve service, they will load up with their entire family, and they will drive to Hooters for wings and fried pickles. And someone started clapping, and I got an amen already. That's really, if this is the way it's going to be, then this is the way it's going to be. But I just thought that was really a unique way to celebrate Christmas. I said all that to say that just in the same way that each of us have our own ways of expressing joy, engaging in Christmas, and having Christmas traditions, we see in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they start off the New Testament with their own special way of celebrating Christmas. Matthew does it by talking to us about Joseph and the angel that visited him, the wise men that come. Mark's Gospel actually skips Jesus' birth and goes right to his adulthood. Luke's Gospel, he is the one that you're most familiar with, the one that I'll read at the end of the service tonight that is always read at Christmas time. It's the one that Linus shares in A Charlie Brown's Christmas. And what I thought we would do tonight, though, is I thought we would take John's special experience with Christmas and look at it for just a couple moments. And he uses two words that I want to highlight to you before I read it, because I want you to listen for these two words. And they are the words life and light. Life and light. See, John doesn't give us the physical background. He rewinds even further. And he shows us through incredible, what I think is incredible language and poetry, a metaphor that we can see Jesus in a different perspective maybe than we've considered before. And so, here's what John says, beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness couldn't understand the light." What John does is he rewinds and he sets the record straight for all of time and eternity. That before man was, before earth was, before the universe was, before anything was, Jesus was. He makes this declaration that Jesus wasn't just a man. He makes for all time and eternity this bold proclamation that Christmas is the moment that we celebrate God being present with us in human form. That He stepped into time to be with us. It's an image that Jesus Himself used as He would describe His mission to us. In John chapter 8, He says this to them. Jesus speaking says, "I am the light of the world. And he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I wonder if anybody has ever had the experience of trying to stumble through a dark room. Recently, my wife and I, we brought an extra piece of furniture into our bedroom. We got this stool, this bench, and we put it at the end of our bed. It's a really nice kind of pleather-ish thing that holds stuff inside of it. And we put it at the end of our bed. And my wife and I have this arrangement that we don't, some of you married folks or whatever, you might have a side of the bed that is yours. And you might be able to say, my side is the left side or my side is the right side. In our household, we don't have a left and a right side. Angie has decided that whichever side of the bed is closest to the bathroom, that's her side. She decided that partway through her very first pregnancy with twins, she decided that she needed the side of the bed that was always closest to the bathroom. So what that means is with this new piece of furniture at the end of our bed, I would have to navigate around it in the dark, mind you, if I were to get up in the middle of the night. And yes, you guessed, the very first night we had an issue. I woke up, wasn't really completely awake, made my way to the restroom, and before I got there, can you guess what my pinky toe found? And immediately in the darkness, my body screamed a whole bunch of things out loud. Like every nerve, everything within me made a whole bunch of noise. But I wanted to be careful that I didn't wake her up, even though she was the one to blame because it was her idea that we bring this new thing in. And so, as I came back to the bed, I didn't want to have the light on, partly because I didn't want to wake her, but the other part of me was just like, as a guy, I just wanted to prove I could do it without hurting myself. But the second time around, I walked very slowly with very tiny steps, gesturing around to make sure I wasn't capturing another injury. In life, we navigate through light times and dark times. When we navigate in the dark, however, we always move a lot slower than we think we should. But Jesus provides the solution. I'm not just talking about physically navigating your room at night or any physical space. What I'm talking to you about tonight is that Jesus forever settled the issue of us walking in confusion, in frustration, and in spiritual darkness. Once and for all, he settled that we would never have to navigate in the dark alone, because in him was life. And that life was the light of men. Well, what does that mean? It isn't just the biological composition of all of the components that make up a human being physically, physiologically, biologically. He's talking about this essence that is the nature of God that lived inside of Jesus, that was the drawing factor to everyone. This life, this nature of God that lived inside of Jesus was a light to anyone who would accept it. He describes his mission and says, I'm the light of the world. It's interesting because the way John starts his gospel is the exact way that Genesis starts its writing, in the beginning. Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. Now, it would be incredible if this is where the story ended, but humanity got in the mix and kind of messed this all up royally through what the Bible calls, and we refer to, as sin. Sin is the darkness that separates us from God. And for thousands of years, God is trying to call his creation back to the light. Some are listening, and some are not. And then Jesus arrives on the scene. He is this life that was the light of men. Jesus was born into the world, this world of darkness, so that he could bring an end to the darkness. It's interesting that in Jesus' day they refused the light and they thought they could extinguish his light by crucifying him. But what the way did not realize was that through his death, burial, and resurrection, they would not extinguish this light, they would only amplify it and magnify it, because Jesus passed on this mission to us. So, how does your story intersect and connect with this life and light that Jesus says he is? In Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus says this: you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light, therefore, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. During World War II, there was a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer who was a Lutheran pastor who defied the orders of Hitler in the nation of Germany at that time in history. And as a result of defying and being a part of the resistance to the Nazi regime, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned. And while he was in prison, he gives a picture that I think is helpful for all of us. It was in a letter that was dated on November 21st, 1943, that Bonhoeffer wrote this: life in a prison cell may well be compared to life at this season. He's talking about Advent. He's talking about Christmas. He says, one waits, one hopes, does this, does that, does the other, and those things are really of no consequence because the door is shut and it can only be opened from the outside. Life in a dark prison cell can oftentimes be compared to how we live this life. Trapped, oftentimes we feel. Frustrated. Darkness never truly leaves. In fact, I would submit this to you: if you spend enough time in a dark room, eventually your eyes will be acclimated to the dark, to the point that you'll think the room is much brighter than it actually is. What has happened? You've gotten used to the dark. And oftentimes in life, we get used to the dark. There's been some difficult things happening in the world around us, and it's really possible just to think about all of the darkness, all the difficulty, all the challenges, and just think to ourselves, it's always going to be this way. There are moments of peaks and valleys, ups and downs, where we think, man, maybe it's going to get good for a little bit, and then it gets bad for a little bit. I want you to imagine that you are locked in a room with no way out. You can see a sliver of hope beneath the doorway, but you have a keen awareness that the only way for you to get out is if someone on the other side opens the door. To me, that's what we're celebrating, that Jesus saw us trapped in darkness, in sin, in despair, and he opened the door and let the light in. People have heard this for many years, that there's light at the end of the tunnel. People have a choice to sit in the darkness or to walk free. Some people choose to stay. Some people choose to walk free. I hope that you will accept this invitation to step into something bright. You are the light of the world. How do we live this out? I'm going to finish with this thought. A couple days ago, one of my very best friends, he called me. He said, hey, he sent me a text first. And here's how the text started. Hey, bro. And that was it. It was a little bit of a bait. He never does that. Never really texts that way. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, can you do me a favor? I said, I'll try if I can. He said, my mom just sent me a message and she's really missing me. He lives in another state. His mom lives here really close. He said, would you do me a favor? Would you get her a gift card, take it to her, and give her a hug from me? Because she said the only thing she really wants is a hug. I said, sure, no problem. I can do that. So literally on my way home this week, I went and gave her the gift card and said, hey, your son wanted me to give you a hug. So I hugged her. And as soon as I hugged her, she began to cry. And it was something small. I tell you this story because I think so many times in life, especially now, we get caught up in things that we think are big. Like, I wish I would have been able to get that particular gift for my spouse, or that particular gift for my kids, or that particular gift for my dad. That was a cue for them. But what if we're passing over small things that make a big difference? What if we're passing over marvelous opportunities through small acts of kindness to show the light and the life of God? I'm going to close and read Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to invite you all to stand with me and grab your candles as you stand. Luke chapter 2 describes this light and this life coming into our world. And I want to conclude with this. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." I think in just a moment, as the lights come down and you get an opportunity to see a physical representation of what a little bit of light can do in a dark place, I hope you go out of here just thinking about, pondering, considering what little act of kindness can I show to the world around me that would be an example of the light and life of God.
Praise His holy name. All of you for coming out with your family and your friends. Those watching online, thank you for watching and celebrating the birth of the Savior of the world. In a moment, we're going to be dismissed and we'll drop our candles in a bucket that the ushers will be back there. But before we do, I want us to remember, is it possible that Christmas doesn't come from a store, but rather Christmas means so much more. Merry Christmas, everybody. You are dismissed.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. Now take a second and subscribe to our channel, or you can share this message with someone that you think could use it. And finally, if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Now have a blessed day.